All right, the Veterans and Military Affairs Subcommittee will come to order. Cameron, do you please call the roll?
Chair Renouard?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Representatives Beleka?
Here.
Broxson?
Here.
Clark Reed?
Here.
Jones?
Here.
Murphy?
Here.
Pigman? Rangel?
Here.
Rushan?
Here.
Santiago?
Here.
Stark?
Here.
And Zimmerman?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, members. By your presence, we have a quorum. I'd like to ask everybody who's in the audience or in the committee, if you've got cell phones, noisemakers, iPads, iPods, anything, if you could turn them to quiet, we'd appreciate it. Anybody who would like to speak from the public, please submit a speaker's card, and we'll recognize you during the presentations today. And first, I'd like to thank this subcommittee for the work, the hard work that we did on the GI Bill. We all take credit for that bill. That was an excellent piece of legislation that we've already sent over to the Senate, and it really showed the hard work of what we did as we workshopped that bill, and I appreciate everybody's support. Today we have one bill on the agenda, and then we're going to have a presentation from the Florida Veterans Foundation. But with that, take up House Bill 873 by Representative Ingram relating to employment of veterans. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for being part of the bill that passed yesterday, the GI Bill that passed. I know you were a sponsor of that bill, and the majority or the meat of what I'm going to present to you is included, but I appreciate you allowing this to go through as a standalone bill, assuming it passes today. But I think it's important. We know the political process and what can potentially happen to any good bill, so way that we can try to get good things through, I think we should. So as you all know, the United States is emerging from more than a decade of war and a drawdown of more than a million combat-ready service members by 2017. Defense spending and looming sequestration cuts compound the challenges of our veterans in the coming years as they adjust to civilian life. And I think Florida's veterans deserve our immediate attention any way we can give it to them. This bill provides that a private non-public employer in Florida may give preference to an honorably discharged veteran or the spouse of a service-disabled veteran without violating any state or local employment opportunity law. As of now, private employers could offer preference to veterans, but few would be comfortable doing so because of the EEOC has said that there's potential for disparate impact claims. However, the EEOC has also said that there's a carve-out within Title VII for rights provided to veterans by state law. Washington, Minnesota, Arkansas, and North Carolina have passed such private sector exceptions, and a number of other states are considering similar legislation. The goal of this bill is to encourage, but not mandate, more private employers to step up and offer a preference to our veterans. It will also give the employers a layer of protection and confidence in their employment decisions. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Before we get started on any questions, I understand there is an amendment. If you'd like to explain the amendment.
Yes, Chairman. The amendment is mainly technical in nature, but it does make a couple of substantive changes. The amendment adds that unremarried widow or widower of a veteran who died of a service-connected disability, as well as the unremarried widow or widower of a service member who died in the line of duty under combat-related conditions will be included in the package.
And committee, is there any questions to the amendment? Is there anybody from the audience who would like to speak to the amendment? Any members wishing to debate the amendment? And Representative Ingram, are you recognized to close on the amendment?
Wave close.
Okay, without objection, show the amendment is adopted. Members, you're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions to the bill as amended? Seeing none, is there anyone from the audience wishing to speak? First, I've got Colonel Mike Pendergrass.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Department of Veterans Affairs waives its support of this great bill.
All right. Very good. And we've got Adam Geary.
On behalf of the Florida Chamber of Commerce, we just wanted to take a moment today to thank Representative Ingram, thank this committee, and thank the Florida House for hearing this measure. This year, the Florida Chamber took a stance that we were going to do whatever we could to make Florida the most veteran-friendly state in the nation. And this bill, along with yesterday's measure, is the first of many steps towards that. So thank you for your efforts, and thank you, Representative Ingram.
Very good. Are there any other members from the audience that would like to speak to this bill? All right. Members, anybody wishing to debate this bill? Representative Rangel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Ingram, for bringing this forward. Again, as a military veteran myself, I know the importance of this, and it's extremely important to me, because I know when I was getting out of the military in 2010, I faced a tough challenge trying to find employment and work. And, you know, everybody says that there's a veteran's preference or opportunity, and that became more difficult. By being able to do this, I think it'll give the opportunity for some of these private sector employers to actually go ahead and start putting in place their own criterias and their own program to assist veterans to find work. So thank you very much.
All right. And Representative Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to also thank you for bringing this bill forward. I think that one of the best things we can do is to get people employed as quickly as we can. You know, I although I didn't serve, I lived through the end of the Vietnam War era, and I know what took place when people didn't get gainfully employed. And I think this is a great bill, and I think I'm proud to be part of it. Thank you.
Good. Representative Clark Reed.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Ingram, I too want to say thank you for bringing this bill forward. I'm sure that with the returning veterans, folks who will become veterans once they return from the wars that we are now engaged in, the opportunities for employment hopefully will be there for them, and that this would enhance their opportunities for getting employed.
Yep. Representative Broxton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Ingram. You know, you and I represent a very concentrated area in the military, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're shaking hands and the economy shakes hands with them after they've served. This is a great bill. It sends a good message, a strong message that this body has reaffirmed in this session, and I think it will have an impact and send the message we want to send. Thank you very much.
Very good. And Vice Chair Smith.
Thank you, Representative, for bringing forward this bill. One of the things that's fundamental to getting veterans jobs is having a clear policy in the community to where businesses understand the legal aspect. And previously, there was a lot of question, can we do this? And by doing this, I think what you're going to see is the business community stepping up and hiring more veterans, and we'll have you responsible for that. So, in that, thank you.
Very good. And Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep, for this bill. I would like to add that those of us that do newsletters and emails, make sure that we include this so that we get the word out to those businesses, because it is a question back at home that I've had, so I'm very proud to be a part of this, and I'm going to make sure that I send it out in every newsletter, whether it's a tagline for a little while or just getting the email blasts out there so that the businesses are now notify that they can do this, so thank you.
Okay, and here more debate from the committee. Seeing none, Karen, will you please call the roll on House Bill 873? Oh, I'm sorry.
thank you, Chairman, and I will take the opportunity to say a couple
please
words.
Do.
I know you have a presentation coming up, but the Florida Chamber of Commerce brought this concept to me and let me know that there were employers in Florida that wanted to hire veterans. They knew that the leadership skills were there. They knew they were hard workers. And so it just seemed like a no-brainer, you know, from the business aspect, for, you know, the trying to get Floridians hired and get businesses going and jobs created, and then helping the people that are, you know, transitioning out of the military, and it helps them the most. So it just seemed like a good thing all the way around. I want to thank every veterans group that's come to see me, and Representative Smith and Ren Uart, thank you for your effort yesterday, and then all the veterans on this committee. I know there are quite a few, so thank you all, and ask for your favorable support.
Karen, you may now call the roll.
Chair Ren Uart?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Representatives Baleka?
Yes.
Broxson?
Yes.
Clark Reed?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Murphy?
Yes.
Pigman?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Rashan?
Yes.
Santiago?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
And Zimmerman?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 873 is now reported favorably.
Thank you all.
All right. Next, we're going to have a special presentation for the committee, and this has to do with part of our GI Bill that we passed yesterday. And I'd like to first recognize Colonel Pendergrass, if you can make an introduction. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and distinguished members of the committee. It's my privilege today to introduce to you Major Retired John Haynes, a veteran who served in the United States Armed Forces, enlisting in the United States Marine Corps at the age of 15, and served in the China Theater of Operations. He later went on to serve in Korea and then in Vietnam. He's a decorated combat veteran, having earned the Silver Star and also the Purple Heart for injuries sustained while in combat against an enemy of the United States of America. And most importantly, he is one of the six members of the inaugural class of the Florida Veterans Hall of Fame. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a great feat, and it's a great honor. And it's a privilege for me to stand here today to introduce to you Major John Haynes, Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Veterans Foundation, who will talk to you about the Florida Veterans Walk of Honor. John?
Thank you, sir.
Hi.
Thank you.
Major Haynes, you're recognized to present.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm deeply honored to be here representing the foundation, and I think everyone knows that the foundation is the direct supporting unit to the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs. And this is the role that we have assumed, one of the roles, in hoping to construct this memorial honoring all veterans from the great state of Florida. It doesn't make any difference what war they served in, or even if they served during a period of war. We know that the families have a deep respect for their relatives who served, and they want the names of those relatives memorialized. And this is what we hope to do with the permission of the legislature. On the screen to my left, you can see the memorial as we see it now, and there's a slight change to the memorial as you see it now. If you recall the last time, if I can get my red arrow, the cenotaph that I have the light on there, this is the POW/MIA cenotaph memorial. Before, we had it over on the left side. I guess my aim is not very good. I think I turned it off. Maybe I better let you operate that. But anyway, the POW/MIA cenotaph was located completely across the area there and was located on the left side. We moved it over to the right side because we were afraid that someone would call to question a point of seniority. And since there is no seniority as such for the POW/MIA part of the memorial, we elected to move them in the present location as you see it there. And otherwise, the memorial is exactly the same. Six cenotaphs, each or one cenotaph representing each branch of the military service, with the military service seal being affixed to the cenotaph to the top, and then a large bronze plaque down in the center depicting that particular branch of service. And this is exactly the way it hopefully will be presented. To the rear of each cenotaph will be the service flag representing the individual services. We will have lighting which will illuminate the memorial to include the flags, and the flags will be flown 24 hours a day. And in case you wonder about the replacement of the flags, this will be a part of a service contract that the foundation will have with the company that is going to engrave the brick or the pavers. And let me speak to the pavers just a moment while I'm on that subject. As you can see, the memorial, as it's presented there, around the base and into the front and to the rear, you see the flat area, and it appears to be a light brown as we see it there. That is 3,600 pavers. And to pay for the memorial, it's our proposal that we have these pavers engraved with the names, rank, anything else of significance, provided it does not go beyond three lines, and that we will sell those for $250 each. There's 3,600 pavers that will be placed in and around the memorial itself. We're getting many, many phone calls and questions as we speak, wanting to buy these pavers. That particular location is considered to be a point of honor, to have your name located immediately with the cenotaphs. So if anyone wants to purchase those, we're not advertising for sale right now because, of course, we have to wait on the approval of the legislature before anything like that could be done. But that is what's going to happen. You can see the seated area out to the front. We're simply showing that, and we show the pavers there in that area. As we see the location there, we have space for about 376 seats. If we are having a formation there or a ceremony, perhaps Veterans Day, Memorial Day, which we would certainly propose that we have those ceremonies at this location, we could, a standing room crowd, we could have in excess of 1,000 people in that area. We have one slide, Jessica, if you could advance that. You can see the bottom right-hand side. It shows a crowd milling in and around the memorial itself. And to the left, bottom left, you see a nighttime view with the memorial lighted with the flags. That was what it would purportedly look like during nighttime. But that is an overall view of the proposed memorial. I'll take any questions if there are any.
We'll take questions from the committee. If there are any members that would have any questions about this presentation. Representative Rangel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And when do you guys plan on putting those bricks for sale? Because I'm interested.
Yeah, you're recognized.
The day that the legislature approves, we will immediately go out with a media blast, and we will advertise for sale, and we will be doing this throughout the state of Florida.
Thank you very much.
I know that there might be some questions on, well, when do you propose to do this? With the permission of the legislature, if the legislature approves this, we would like to break ground no later than the 1st of July. We can do it earlier. And the only factor that we have there, we're going to advertise the construction project, and we want at least three competing firms to compete. We are requiring that it be a disabled, veteran-owned company, small business, and I think that fits right in with our decorum here. And we break ground, and let's just say that it is 1 July. By 1 October, we propose to have the memorial completed. We would highly recommend that Veterans Day, November the 11th, that we have the grand opening for the Florida Memorial and Walk of Honor.
And just to remind the committee, the bill that we voted on yesterday, this section takes effect as soon as the governor signs it. So that could happen. Well, let's see what the Senate does. All right, do you have any follow-up? Okay. If not, actually, Vice Chair Smith was up next. Question.
Thank you. Major, I was wondering, previously you showed two examples. Is this come to completion? This is the final example, and this is the final plan?
We still have the other plan in effect. However, we didn't have anyone express any desires on the other location. And so we're featuring this. However, the other location is still open, but we just didn't have any take. No one expressed any desire. This is the location that everyone seems to like the best.
And that, for those who don't realize where that is, that's essentially just the other side of this wall right here. And a follow-up.
Thank you. Major, I was wondering, you know, some of those locations right in front of the monuments and in front of the colors, I think would be some prime areas for increased rates for the blocks. And potentially, have you guys discussed having areas that are higher?
And, we are considering that at this time. We don't have a decision, but we will have a decision prior to advertising.
You have my support.
Because that area immediately at the location of the cenotaphs, that is prime real estate. It's all prime real estate, but this is super prime. And I know what's going to happen, that is going to be in such demand. The moment we advertise, we're going to be flooded. And that's good, because certainly, you know, we're not asking the taxpayers, to pay anything. We, the veterans community, want to do this. And the families of the Florida veterans, I know that they're going to want this. They're going to want their names of their sons, daughters, uncles, fathers. They're going to want those memorialized there. And many of the phone calls that we've already received are saying, I want my name right up by the I'm an Army veteran, and I want my name right in front of the Army. Or I'm a Marine. I want my, and so we're going to do what's reasonable and what's proper. But I just wanted to let everyone know that once we let this out, after the approval, that those pavers are for sale. It's going to happen very, very, very rapidly. There's no doubt in my mind that we are going to financially be secured with this operation, that there won't be any problem. And then one question that we haven't discussed much in the past is what happens in the future. Well, we have the large area out where the seating is there. That is roughly 8,600 pavers that we have room for there. But then what we were hoping, that between the old and the new Capitol, all of those thousands and thousands of bricks there, that as time goes on, this little company of ours would continue to be taking applications for names, and we could gradually put those names throughout the entire area where the bricks are currently laid. Of course, some of us veterans would like to see anything that's flat, with a paver on it. And perhaps that's asking for too much. But there's so much enthusiasm in the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs and in the foundation for this project. I think everyone just wants to be a part of it, because it is such a great program and project. Too long in coming. We do have a memorial, the World War II, it's over here, and Korean, it's over there, and the Vietnam's down across the street, but there's nothing on the campus here honoring our veterans of all times, of all wars, and this will seal the issue. And we've included the Coast Guard and the Merchant Marines, and we know that in the past many memorials have excluded those fine sailors and soldiers, and the POI or POWMIA. To my knowledge, I have not seen a memorial honoring those people who made those great sacrifices. But this is our opportunity, the state of Florida, to do that. Mr. Chairman, I have nothing further.
Well, we still have some more questions, but that bill we passed yesterday with all these new veterans who are coming to the state of Florida, we're going to have to make more room, obviously. Yeah. But Ranking Member Clark Reed, I think you had a question. Go ahead.
Thank you. You answered one of them. My concern was what was going to happen with the future, and you answered that. As far as your reaching out to organizations, will you do that to the American Legion post, the VFW post, those types of organizations, not just sending out an open invitation to everyone? Will you send something particularly to them?
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. We are the Florida Veterans Council, which we meet with once a month. We are in consult with them as we speak. And the moment that we get the approval, we're going to formally go out to every service organization within the state. We've already been discussing this with them, that we want each veteran service organization to have the opportunity to recognize our program. And I can assure you, in our conversations with the chairman, president of the Florida Veterans Council, and the individual members, they are wholeheartedly in support of this memorial. But they will be one of the first ones out of the chute to be able to purchase, as well as the news media throughout the state.
Representative Rushine? Okay. Representative Santiago, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Major. First, I'd like to say the memorial is a great idea. I have a couple questions. What is your estimated cost to construct the project?
Recognized.
Thank you, sir. At the present time, we have an unofficial cost estimate of $335,000. Remembering that the construction drawings have not been done yet because we're waiting on the approval of the legislature to have that done. And once those construction drawings are completed, then we put it out for bid. $335,000, for a memorial of this class, I don't think it's out of the realm.
Recognize,
but that's that is the just an estimate only, and you know how they work, that the engineers, they have programs and they just plug in what information they have and the computer spits it out, and this is what the computer came up with.
Mm-hmm. Sure. This is going to be a two-part question. At $250 and 3,600 bricks, you're coming close to $1 million in funds collected.
I can give you those figures. I have those figures. For the immediate area,
before they get to the plaza,
up where the cenotaphs are located, that comes out to about $950,000. And the question might be, well, if the memorial is only going to cost $335,000, what are you going to do with that extra money?
Yeah.
The Florida Veterans Foundation, as the direct support organization to the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, it's our mission to provide emergency relief services to all veterans and their families throughout the great state of Florida. And this is why the selling of the brick is such an attractive program, because we estimate right now that it's a 25-year program to completely rebrick all of the area between the old, the new capital, all of those areas, about a 25-year, and that will be a great source of income for the Florida Veterans Foundation to support the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs. And I can assure you that the services which we provide by the foundation is only limited or dictated by the amount of funding that we have, because we're reaching out to all of the veterans and their families throughout the state of Florida. 1.6 million veterans. Each veteran has a family. I think it averages about three family members. So we're speaking probably close to 5 million veterans within the state, plus their many, many friends and loved ones that they have. So this is a long-range program. We figure 25 years. But our real key behind the whole thing is to find a funding source sort of guaranteed that we will have the funding there to provide for these veterans and their families. And believe me, the foundation is working every day with our veterans throughout the state. We're working on stand-downs for the homeless veterans. So that in itself is a could be a separate report, but it's a dynamic organization. And back a few years ago, when Admiral Collins was the father of this great bill that brought into being the foundation, it's been all well. I won't say downhill, because there's certainly been some inclines involved to make this work. But I, in my mind, it's one of the most important programs that the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs has. And it's the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs method of being able to provide for the 1.6 million veterans that they have the responsibility for. This is just one of their programs, but I think it's a significant program.
Okay, you recognize for follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The PAVER program is a great program. I like that also. Has your organization considered the possibilities of families that also had great sacrifices that may not be able to afford to purchase a PAVER in their are you or are you going to consider in the future possibility of a program within your program to allow families to apply based on their need to be able to have a PAVER to recognize one of their loved ones here based on their sacrifice?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have not formally discussed that, but as a matter of fact, just last evening I was on the telephone with the immediate past director of our district down in the Fort Lauderdale area, and that came up. And this past director told me, she said, I will try to come up with something that I can bring to the next meeting of the foundation board addressing that very subject. But formally, at this point in time, we don't have anything formally on the table to take care of that, because there will be cases out there when that is going to occur.
I'd like to recognize one more.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate it, because I wanted to make sure, because in essence, you know, this is the people's land that we're giving, and many of them provided the sacrifice. So I would love to see, as this program develops, an opportunity for all families to participate on some level. Obviously, we need the funds to build it, right? We
yes,
can't
sir.
Give it all away, right? But if there's some opportunities to create a program, I think would be even better to support project on the people's land.
I think that this, I think that one of the great things about the Florida Veterans Council, the individual veteran service organization, I think that this would be a great subject for the foundation to address with them, because, you know, they can address that individual program within their community where they're located, and I think they could probably handle that better than the foundation from our level. We certainly will bring this up to the Florida Veterans Council and see what we can develop, because there will be a need.
Representative Broxton, you got a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very nice.
Before we vote, I wanted to see if you would be willing to negotiate some pre-construction prices for this committee. in all frankness,
there's no vote. We've actually voted on this yesterday. A little late.
Well, then I propose that we have a vote. In all frankness, I think that with term limits, we have such little historical memory that I would hope that it would be possible that this committee could join and raise funds by individual members to have a block for this committee as a recognition that we participated in this great venture, and both the Senate side too.
Certainly a thought. Very good. Any other questions from the committee? Are there any comments from the public I'd like to speak? I don't think we get any additional. Not any other comments from the committee itself? Representative Ring.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with that said, I want to lock in my price because I know Representative I know Representative Smith asked for an increase, and I want a cheaper version.
All right. Well, very good. We appreciate the presentation. I think this really gave a visual to what we as a committee had put through the bill and what we passed on the floor last night. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Well, members, that completes our subcommittee today. And without objection, Representative Broxson moves that we rise. The meeting is adjourned.